You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
As we continue to celebrate 200 years since Louis Braille invented his six-dot tactile reading and writing system, Braille, here on RNIB Connect Radio, we are going to find out a bit more about the benefits of using Braille music as a blind musician. I'm delighted to say that joining me now is accomplished blind cellist and music teacher, Leslie Hamrick, who's going to tell me a little bit more about Braille music and the journey Leslie went on in many ways to really fully embrace Braille music. Hello, Leslie, and thank you for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Leslie, I know you've been blind since birth, and like many people growing up, you learnt Braille. But for me, as somebody who has learnt Braille and does use Braille, I'm a little bit sort of, I suppose, not fully aware of what Braille music is and how it works and what it's all about. Would you mind giving me a sort of brief overview of how Braille music works and how it does represent in a tactile form those sort of musical notes that you would find on sighted music notation?
Braille music is not on a staff because there's no room for a staff. So Braille music is read straight across the line, and you have to learn how to use what's called octave marks. So the fourth C on the piano is middle C, the third C on the piano is third octave C, and you go up, the fourth octave C, fourth C in the piano is middle C, and then the fifth C on the piano would be fifth octave C as well. So it's an adjustment, especially if you had vision and you're learning how to read from the staff and then you're transitioning over to Braille music. But it can be learned with practice and repetition. Everything that is in Braille music is also in print music. So there's equivalents for dynamics, tempo markings, and articulations like accents and bowings, so down bow and up bow. And it's really a fascinating system, I think.
And I suspect it's just really a way of using the Braille sort of dots that we all know when we're reading Braille, but making that in a way sort of into, I suppose, music notation. So there'll be, I think, sort of indicators that, you know, sort of a thing that might be a letter A as we read it might represent an A in music or something like that.
Yes. What's most confusing when a student is first beginning Braille music is that you have to take the whole code and switch it to everything that has a different meaning. So I call it switching from literary mode, which is words, to music mode, which is the music notes and the fingerings. Like you mentioned, if you have an A in Braille, in literary Braille, it's an A dot one, but in Braille music, it's the first finger.
And I suspect that many blind musicians and performers might learn their music by ear and might find, if they're thinking about Braille music, might find it a little bit slow, you know, sort of slowing down their learning and stuff. And I think you did learn Braille music very briefly, but like other people found it a little bit slow, but it was maybe a slightly sort of embarrassing experience during a choir practice when you did really sort of, I suppose, were forced into really embracing Braille music. If it's not too terrible, would you mind recalling that slightly embarrassing experience and how it really did, in a way, I suppose, make you really fully embrace Braille music?
Well, I was a sophomore in high school, and I had come to the conclusion, you know, I really don't need the music. I can just use the words. And we were singing a very easy arrangement of Deck the Halls. I was singing the soprano part, and it was mostly the melody aside from a few variations. So I was singing, didn't have any music in my hand. And when the choir director noticed it, he stopped the rehearsal and asked me where was my music. And I said, I don't need it anymore. And his response was, I would appreciate if you learn how to read music, it's going to be the best thing for you. And then he just went on with rehearsal. And so my first thought was, uh-oh, I got caught. Because I was hoping he wouldn't notice, but he did. And the second thought I had was, I better get my act together and get going on this. So it was slightly, it took me off guard more than anything when he stopped rehearsal and asked me where my music was, but he would have done that with any kid, blind or not. So I wasn't alone in those instances. And I did realize later on that he had my best interest at heart, and he wanted me to be independent and be able to take advantage of my full potential. So I did tell him senior year that it really, although it was hard to hear at the time, it really made me realize the importance of learning and using Braille music.
And I suspect this is a question that you might get asked quite often, but when you're preparing, for example, to perform with the Elmhurst Symphony Orchestra when you're playing your cello, how do you use Braille music in that preparation? Because this is going to sound a stupid thing to say, but when you're playing the cello, you're using both hands.
That is correct. And I always joke around that I haven't figured out how to read Braille with my toes yet. So in the meantime, I have to memorize everything. So what I do is play four measures at a time. When I actually have the music out and I'm learning it, I'll read four measures at a time and play, and I'll read and play. What I might do is finger my cello on the correct notes with my left hand while I'm reading. And that has helped me to remember where I need to go. It can be tiring at times because it does involve a lot of concentration, as to when you're learning by ear, you can just listen and you're using a totally different part of your brain. When you have to be the one to, you're taking the music in tactily and not auditorily. And just like a sighted musician would take it in visually, I take it in tactily and then I play. So it's basically read, play, put it together, read, play, read, play, read, play, put another section together, and on I go throughout the piece. And even before I get the Braille music, what I do is go on YouTube and find a recording and listen. It's all I listen to are the pieces that I'm playing. So I can really get a good idea of how everything sounds all together. And then when I actually get the music, get it transcribed, it's easier for me to pick the cello part out, because I remember, like, oh, that's how it sounded at measure 35. And it's really, you need to be patient. I've learned over the years that when you're using Braille music, you have to be patient with yourself. You have to plan accordingly, and it's okay to take breaks if you feel like your brain's getting too tired. I've learned to recognize that, and then I just put the cello down, put the note taker down, and just maybe take a 5-minute break, get up, walk around, stretch, do whatever. And then when I go back to it, I feel more like I can take notes in again. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And I think it's that thing, isn't it? It's when you're reading something in a tactile form, you're taking it in, and sometimes, you know, your brain is working harder, I think, at times. And I suspect also that, you know, when you're listening to something and you've also got the Braille music in front of you, that, I suppose, structure or the way the music is laid out or the playing or whatever, you get a better sense of it because you're able to sort of feel it through your fingers as well as listening to it.
Yeah, because if I hear something, a note accented real strong. I don't know if it's an accent. I don't know if it's a sports sando. I don't know what exactly it is. I just know that it sounds, that note sounds louder than everything else. And if I have the braille in front of me, that tells me. So it gives me a much clearer picture of the music. I might think something's in 4/4 time when it might be in cut time, but I'm not going to know that unless I have the braille in front of me to tell me. I think the hardest thing about listening to a piece while I'm trying to read it in braille music is when there's a bunch of fast notes, it's harder to keep up.
When you're teaching your blind students, when does Braille music come up, and how do you, I suppose, maybe impress upon them the, I suppose, importance and benefits of Braille music to them as blind musicians?
Usually, I get a student might come to me and say, I need to help. I need to learn Braille music because I can't help my child do their Suzuki book. And I need to learn this. Or I might have a student come to me and say, I need to learn Braille music because I'm going to major in music in college. It's usually the student is either they've gotten to the point where they don't feel like they have a choice anymore, that learning by ear has gotten harder because the music has gotten harder and it's hard to keep up with everything.
And I suspect learning Braille music is a bit like learning Braille itself. It's practice, practice, and more practice, and maybe starting with small but regular steps in reading Braille music.
That is correct. It's a process. And I can only go as fast with a student as they're as fast as they can process it, if that makes any sense. Some students process it quicker than others. Some it could take a real long time. It just depends on their learning abilities and how much they understand the system, because it can be quite confusing at first.
And as a Braille music reader yourself, Leslie, do you prefer reading Braille music on a refreshable Braille display or from hard copy Braille?
I started out on hard copy Braille, and over the years, I have gotten used to reading it on my Mantis or my Braille note. I think it depends on the kind of music. If you're doing piano music, that is actually, it can be read on a Braille display, but that is actually easier in hard copy Braille because you have multiple lines that you need to read, the right hand and the left hand. And on the Braille display, unless it's the Monarch, you only get one line at a time. Or the Canute is another one, is another multi-line display. But most Braille displays are only one line at a time.
And what tips and advice would you give somebody who's starting out that journey on learning Braille music? Is there any sort of advice and hints you might be able to give them?
Yes, the first thing I would say is learn Braille music as early as possible, as close as you can to the teacher teaching their sighted students music. It should be the time that they teach their blind students music, because learning by ear is only going to get you so far. It works in the short term, it works for easy music, but as things get more complicated, especially if you're going to be a music major, you need to have that music in front of you and actually be able to write out music, because you take ear training and music theory. You have to know how to do your assignments and write down your assignments and then dictate them to your professor or put them in a MuseScore or Lime and turn them in that way. And the second piece of advice I would say is be patient with yourself. Realize that it's going to take time and lots of repetition to learn Braille music. And if at all possible, you want to avoid playing catch up. That's exactly what I did in graduate school. That's exactly what other blind musicians have done. They say, oh, I'm going off to college. I'm going to major in music, but then they don't know Braille music, and then they end up having to really play catch up.
Yeah, because I think it's that thing of, as with learning Braille, once you start, the earlier you start learning Braille, and the more you practice it, the more you use it on a day-to-day basis, it's going to improve your Braille skills, and that's probably the same for Braille music.
It is the same for Braille music. And in terms of, you were asking about the benefits of Braille music, it enriches your life. I know it's enriched mine, and I have found that I can play pieces with a lot more feeling and expression than I did when I was playing by ear. Because when I was playing by ear, I not only had to rely on someone to record a piece for me, but then I also had to rely on their interpretation of piano, which is soft, and forte, which is loud, and accents. And the nice thing about having the Braille music is what I see on the page is guidelines. And as that's where the musician comes in, the artist comes in, I can take it to another level and make it my own.
Finally, Leslie, if people would like to find out a bit more about you and maybe listen to hear you play your cello and also find out a little bit more about you, where's the best place for people to go to find you and hear you play?
I would say the National Federation of the Blind Performing Arts Division YouTube channel. And I also have a channel on YouTube where I've posted performances over the years.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio, all about Braille music as we continue to celebrate 200 years since Louis Braille invented Braille.
Thank you for having me.